The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's the Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. It's been a fantastic season of drama in the league. And on this podcast, we celebrate the fact that there has been a partnership between England Netball and Sky for over 15 years. Andy has been speaking to Sky Netball producer Leanne McLernan, who shared with us some of the ways Sky adapted their coverage for 2021.
It's really been a season like no other. You know, we've been so privileged to be able to sort of show the fans every game. And we've been delighted to see how Sky Sports YouTube became the home of netball. You know, we saw increased engagement, reach, watch time, and extraordinary number of eyeballs on our YouTube streams. So we got just under 2 million, Andy, which is just really, really exciting. So it's 1.95 million on YouTube. Obviously, we know we showed every game, so it's quite a lot of games to watch. But yeah, so really, really exciting. So I think what this shows is that the appetite for netball is absolutely there. And what we want to do now is ask ourselves the question of how do we continue to grow and develop? There have been so many extraordinary things about this season, you know, with Leeds Rhinos, Loughborough Lightning winning, etc. So for all of us, it's like, where do we go from here? That's the question.
I'd imagine as well, there would be potentially bigger figures for semi-finals and finals, but were you able to spot any additional trends where maybe 2,000 or 3,000 watching the games live, and then by the time you'd next been able to view things, that almost quadrupled?
Yeah, definitely. We certainly did see that. And that sort of showed us that the people that are watching potentially watch back, you know, they don't watch things live, which is quite unusual for Sky, you know, because that's sort of our first thought is the live. But actually, I think if you look at the audiences that we have, it's predominantly women. It's like 77% women, which is quite, again, quite unusual. And also a much younger audience. So the way they're consuming it isn't necessarily at that time, which means that they maybe catch up afterwards. So yeah, it was jumping up massively. You know, a couple of days later, you'd see sort of like a 20,000 even increase, which is huge. So if you looked at the time, you wouldn't really get an accurate view of how many people have overall seen the product. But that's what's been pretty exciting about having it on YouTube.
If we go back to the start of the season, obviously heavily involved with the plans alongside England Netball, were there maybe 2 or 3 different options depending on COVID just to get the league up and running?
Yeah, we talked through all the potentials and, you know, all the ramifications that it would have. And, you know, worked really closely with England Netball and the clubs. And, you know, what was brilliant was that they came to that view that the centralised venue would be best. And the safest option. And, you know, I think as you saw and everyone saw that meant that they could create this fantastic show, and everyone worked really, really hard on that. So it's been really exciting to see what's possible being at those centralised venues, because it's something that we've sort of talked about and discussed over the years. But for each of the clubs to sort of have to travel, and there's a lot of things that go into that, I think it just made it really, really exciting this season.
Bit of a geeky section of the podcast, and for everybody listening, it'll only be one question, but my background is radio production, so give us an idea of what it actually took to get everything on air.
Yes, you know, started off the season and had to look at, you know, we're in the middle of COVID, what do we do? So it's sort of people came first. It's like, so how are we going to get the netball, this amazing show off the ground, really? So so I decided to sort of make it a remote production. We've been doing it with a lot of our other sports, and it kind of meant that there's a, you know, better work-life balance for people, less carbon, less travel. It's much more sustainable. And it also meant that we could have a studio back at Sky, which meant we could have quite a glossy looking set and give it a different feel that we haven't had in other seasons. And then that meant that we could push the cloud-based production, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's basically cameras on site, and they send via a 5G card, SIM card in the camera, they send the pictures up to the satellites, and then that satellite comes back to Sky, and then we put the production together at Sky, and then that goes out to you guys. So we were the first team to actually have a live sports broadcast via the cloud. We're very excited about that. So that was something that we feel very proud about, because the tech guys, Andy, are, you know, they've they were working really, really hard. And I think COVID has pushed us into, you know, jumping sort of 5 years down the line from a tech point of view. But what it's shown is that we were able to, you know, stream those games, but also elevate the production values of it as well. You know, we had Hannah and Gail on site reporting, and we were able to do, you know, those post-match interviews, which sort of really added to the editorial of the programme.
Certainly helped us out on those. So thank you publicly for that.
Ah, great. No, I'm glad you liked it. But the other thing, as you said, was the VR, because I had a meeting about that, and I was almost fell off my chair, you know, like virtual reality netball. It was like, it sounded like a dream. So it was really, really cool to see what they could create. And, you know, getting those cameras sort of courtside was for me was just amazing, you know, to see the one-on-ones, the tussles you have, because I think with live television you can lose some of that, you know, the battles that go on the court, but with the VR it sort of was another way of bringing that to fans. So obviously not that many fans have you know, your VR headsets yet, and netball fans, so as that progresses I think that'll be really exciting.
It was really weird coming to the end of my career, but it was time to make that change. And what was fabulous was I got this opportunity through Sky to then continue that career in netball, but on the other side of the camera, so to speak. And so being that pundit and commentator meant that I could still do what I love so, so much and help develop the game from another angle.
On match days, did you maybe have two or three extra commentary teams available to you in case there were changes in tests, that kind of thing?
Not particularly. I mean, we had a big team of people, you know, if you can imagine the 114 games, there were always a lot of people coming in, and there was quite a big changeover. So there was more of backup in the next session of people would have been able to cover. But there definitely were quite a few changes over the season due to unforeseen circumstances, you know, but that's kind of typical of any production. But obviously this was on a much grander scale. So everyone really pulled together, you know, stood in where necessary and helped out. And also meant that we were able to trial quite a few new people, which I found very, you know, exciting. And, you know, there's so many talented people out there in the netball world, and to be able to give them a chance, whether it's you know, be a guest on the show or be a co-commentator, it just was a real privilege.
I don't know if you saw my next question, but obviously we saw the likes of Pam, Jess, Mia, Nat, Panagari, to name a few, who've obviously joined part of that co-commentary. Was that maybe always something that you just thought, oh well, let's give this a go, let's see how the work out?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I say, there's been, I've always stuck to sort of a core group of talent, because I kind of wanted to build that trust amongst the team, and, you know, for the viewers to know that they're in safe hands. You know, these people are here every week and they're familiar faces, but there are so many others. And it was like, well, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. So they are so knowledgeable and passionate and eloquent, and it's, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. You're like, where do I go, because they're all really good, and, you know, I had such great feedback about so many of them. So yeah, very exciting.
We know that the games were held obviously in Wakefield and the Copper Box as well. I'd imagine from a broadcast point of view as well, it was a heck of a lot easier only having those two venues and not having to de-rig and then rig up again. And
exactly, Andy, it was get
sat trucks up and down the country.
Yeah, it was it was one of the reasons why we could show everything, because it meant that, you know, we were in that one venue. And it was a long way for everyone, you know, when it was in Wakefield, which it wasn't ideal, but, you know, ultimately what we were able to put out on Sky was just was the best probably I think we've ever seen in the UK. You know, obviously watch the Suncorp and the ANZ and, you know, what they do with the product. And, you know, for England netball and, you know, the Prez team to create such a great show, you know, whether it's the court or the branding or the lighting and everything that goes around it, for us to turn up as broadcasters to be able to show that, and we were really lucky to be able to get to that level and just leave cameras in overnight, you know, from a Sunday to a Monday, which just, you know, is brilliant for everyone really.
I suppose question maybe for later on down the line, but even though the games were on Mix, what kind of effect do you think it'll have, just obviously putting the games on YouTube? Were you maybe playing the long-term game on that thinking?
I think it was really just thinking about where our audience is, you know, and how we we give that product to the audience. And, you know, we've seen really different audiences, and, you know, we saw on YouTube, we're reaching viewers that might not have had access to Skyview. And, you know, like I said, we may have a younger audience. So YouTube is sort of where they go, and that's their main platform. And I think it was about testing it out really and seeing, because we were also offering it on the main linear channel as well. So it meant, you know, we weren't giving up on that. But we were certainly, I'd say we're trialing it on YouTube. And it's, you know, it's got that community feel on YouTube. You know, you've got the comments and the ability to replay, as you said, to share and watch on the go. So it's just, for netball, it's always been about, you know, how we can grow the sport and how we can get it out to the widest audiences. And it was a good opportunity.
Are they going to be remaining online in closed season?
Yeah. We'll work with the rights holders on sort of strategies to maximise the growth of the sport. So I think, you know, that for them, it's, you know, leaving it on YouTube would be where we're, what we'd like to do.
It's been hugely significant in terms of the Sky coverage that England Netball and the Netball Super League in particular has had over the number of years. It's been the partnership that has really, again, transcended our sport from it being considered an amateur girls' sport in one sense to actually a professional women's sport, and actually taken seriously in and amongst the women's sporting teams in the UK.
As we know, Sky here in the UK have been showing netball for over 15 years. And the England head coach, Jess Thirlby, gave her views on the partnership. Sky have been committed to showing netball for over 15 years, and maybe a quick word on their commitment to netball.
I mean, having been fortunate enough to just link in with the Sky group on occasions this year, right? And they joined us on my first senior international series over in South Africa, I think. It's second to none in terms of having their support. I know there's such a huge appetite, isn't there, back home to kind of see us again out on an international court. So for Sky to be able to help facilitate that and bring our matches to the masses back home and across the world is really appreciated. And I know the player group really value that, and making our sport, well, the sport visible first and foremost, but for the Roses and to build that momentum and create, you know, for us to feel that support from back home is so important when we're over here, you know, kind of 4 weeks into a long tour, most probably the longest, in fact, Serena said she's ever been on, which says something given how long she's played for the Roses. So it goes some way to just keep us connected. And, you know, we just want to make everybody proud back home. So really grateful to Sky for affording the opportunity to connect us with our fans back in England.
Let's get back to more of my chat with Leanne McLernan. Sky Netball is that small team, but you've got each other's back, and it's something that is hugely appreciated by everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's lovely that you say that, but we are really passionate. You know, it is a small team, but, you know, if you get kind of a group of individuals that just love something, you know, you're always going to get something fantastic on air. So I think, you know, I'm really proud of what we've achieved and the team, and, you know, they've all gone way above and beyond, you know, whether it's working through the night just to get, you know, off the court made, or, you know, doing those Sunday streams where we've had technical issues but still on air making it look fantastic. Everyone's just really, really pulled together. But it all sort of comes from that sort of, like I say, that bond that we have over netball and the love of netball and women's sport. And it sort of, it feels like we're doing something. It feels like we're changing stuff. And that's what's really, really fantastic to be part of. So, yeah, we're really lucky.
Sky have been showing netball for 15 years. How many of those 15 have you been involved with?
Gosh, well, I probably took over for the last 5 years. So, you know, it's one of those things that when I stepped in, we really took hold of the production. So we started to invest more in that, you know, envision side of it. So with Di Doherty, Tamsin Greenway and Pamela Cookie, and as I say, sort of building that really strong core team. And it's been, you know, for me, it's just been so fantastic to see where we've come, you know, in that journey. There's been so many massive positives to take from it. So, yeah, it's been incredible.
Massive positive, no better than Netball World Cup and Sky Netball. You're in charge of that channel, so obviously that's got to be right up there.
Yeah, oh my God, for me, the highlights, yeah. That was certainly, I have never experienced anything like that on a women's sports scale. You know, I've been lucky to be involved in lots of massive events over my career. You know, a lot of fantastic Ryder Cups and moments of history. But when I stepped into the arena at Liverpool, with the crowd were just insane. And to be able to have a takeover channel, like you say, it was just an absolute dream, you know, for a netball fan myself and for the team. You know, it was just like, It was crazy. You know, you're walking around the docks at Liverpool and it's just all netball fans and, you know, mums and their daughters and the groups of women and families and, you know, sort of stalking Tamsin and Greenway, you know, trying to get signatures off the wall. Yeah, going to the cafe and you've got Serena Guthrie and the girls all just sitting there having a coffee. You know, it was pretty cool, really, really cool. But from a broadcast perspective, you know, we worked really hard with the BBC and the INF to make it available to the widest audiences. So we saw a real huge success there because we had like over 317,000 for the England-South Africa game. So we kind of see that the audiences are there, you know, at that grand stage. So, you know, it was really, really amazing to be part of. But as you say, there's that. But then I thought that was my highlight. But, you know, when I went into, you know, looking back on this season, I now think, gosh, what we've achieved in these COVID times has just been off the chart. So, yeah, really proud of both, to be honest.
And for Netball World Cup, though, I mean, it wasn't just the games, maybe, but it was the amount of features that you did as well, the highlights packs on players as well. And it's that kind of thing. I mean, it's to some extent what we do here and just highlight players that are involved with the sport.
Yeah, I think that's always been a crucial part of, you know, what we've done.
Off the court even?
Yeah, exactly, Andy. Yeah, you know, the point is that when you watch a sport, especially if you just tune in and you've never seen it before, you don't know who the players are and you don't know who you want to follow, you know. So it's our job to sort of highlight these players and tell the stories and, you know, get really under the skin of the sport and see what it's about and, you know, and give that to the fans. So yeah, we worked really hard on those features. We've got some really talented people on the team. And, you know, it's also, when you're watching a game and you've highlighted a player at the top of the show, at the end of the game, if they get player of the match, you kind of feel something for them because you know their story, you know the background, you've seen them excel on the court, and then you can then really enjoy it with them. So you're sort of trying to bring that narrative to the fans at home.
We've had plenty of stories that probably haven't really made the final edit of the podcast over the course of the time. So how about yourself and any funnies from shooting?
Oh my God.
I mean Shani and Caroline crack me up every time. So
yeah, I must admit, when we got Shani over for the Netball World Cup, it was like, oh my God, the energy around her is off the chart. She's just completely crackers. And, you know, I knew that she would be a massive addition to the team, but with her, you're kind of reining it in a bit, you know, just trying to work out how we can get the best out of her. And, you know, she was fantastic. But yeah, Caroline is exactly the same. She's so funny, you know, and brings so much to the team. She's always got, you know, her bag of Percy Pigs to share with the team, and she brings a lot of sweets in. It's a lot of sugar-based sweets. yeah, I mean, we've also had, like, you know, some funny stuff with Dan Ryan this year. You know, one day he turned up, he didn't realise he was in vision, and he only had his Leeds Rhinos kit on. And, you know, we're all quite particular about how we look on air. You know, we want everyone to look really smart, so had to dig out a shirt for him. So he ended up with some, just a very nice, I thought, plain white shirt, but he thought he looked like a waiter. And obviously Di picks up on that, and they had quite a lot of fun over the studio that night with the waiter of Dan Ryan. But you know what? The best thing about it is that we've got so many really lovely people that we, you know, work on the team. So they just really care about the sport. You're part of a team. You feel like you're really part of something special.
Exciting team to be part of. Massive news that Sky have been with netball and been included with netball for over 15 years.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, Sky have always been really back in women's sport, and what we've done with it is just shown that if you get the right group of people behind it, as in, you know, England Netball and as in the clubs and the production staff, you can really grow the sport. And, you know, the money that Sky have invested in the rights has meant that England Netball have been able to put that back into the pathways. You know, so on the court, the way they play now is just exceptional. And, you know, a lot of these players are getting poached for Australia and New Zealand. And you've just seen that change. You've just seen how well they're playing. And that means that we can make our broadcast even better because, you know, ultimately it's got to be brilliant on the court. Otherwise, you're not going to get that interest. So for them to have that level And as we talked about, you know, the Netball World Cup, to see the way England perform is just exceptional. And actually the Super League this year, you know, the Super League has been probably one of the most competitive Super Leagues. And, you know, some of the stories this year, you know, with Sirens getting right up there and Rhinos and the story, you know, there's just so many teams that you're kind of rooting for in the end. You don't know which one to pick. And in the end, it's sort of, the story pans out, you know, and it's very interesting. But yeah, I'm really, really, really excited about where we can still go with netball, but also look back on what we've achieved.
Leanne, thanks for that in the meantime. And skysports.com/netball has all the latest in the closed season.
Sky's Hannah Wilkes has been looking back on that season with us.
What a season.
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think I'm in a state of shock still, actually, that it's come to an end and just the way it unfolded and how brilliant it was, how competitive it was, how successful it was in terms of, you know, we got all the way to week 19 before we had any major COVID disruption. We had that incredible race for the top four. Then we all of a sudden had this incredible race for the number one spot. I think it had everything you want from a Netball Super League season and then some. So yeah, it was just brilliant.
2021 was definitely a way of embracing different ways to cover Netball Super League, and I'd easily say that you and the Sky Netball team certainly embraced that challenge.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It was completely different. You think we went from covering 18 games in 2019, the last time there was the full season, to, I think I've lost track, certainly over 110 this year. And be able to bring everyone every single game live is just incredible. And it's been a dream come true for all of us. I mean, the fans have really liked it. And we've been able to be really creative in how we do it. Obviously, apart from the finals, we had the studio back at Sky, and then myself or Gail was courtside to keep everybody safe. And that involved all new technologies and a whole new way of working within netball. We became the first broadcast to use cloud-based broadcasting software, which is too techie for me to fully understand, but the future is here, people. And that was very exciting as well. We were broadcasting virtual reality as well. If you're lucky enough to have a headset, you can watch netball in VR. So yeah, not only have we had these massive challenges with COVID, but it's because of the way the season's been run, Sky have been able to sort of really take it to another level, I think. Yeah, putting all the games on YouTube as well is huge for us. And streaming those weekend games when we don't have the full setup, but even throughout the year and throughout the season, we kind of kept adding to what we were doing for those Saturday and Sunday games. So yeah, it's been brilliant to be a part of. And from what I've seen on social media and just talking to people, it seems like everyone's really enjoyed netball, getting this extra attention and a full coverage.
I'm going to be kind. You are an established broadcaster. So what's it like having that Perspex screen between you and maybe watching miles away from the venue off the box?
So that's not actually been the case for me. That's just for the commentators. Hey. I've been really lucky in that, you know, as a reporter, I was basically, for much of the season, one of the only people sat courtside that wasn't part of a team, part of England Netball, part of the Super League, or an official. So you feel very privileged to be sat there watching courtside when no one else is able to. Obviously, it's very strange, though, still. You feel quite isolated and cut off from everyone. Obviously, we had our set area that we were allowed to go in, and obviously certain lines we were not allowed to cross to make sure that, you know, the players sort of stayed safe, and then we were a very separate entity. So it's different in that regard, and obviously having to wear masks and interviewing people is, I think you speak to any broadcaster around the world of sport, they'll say it's quite challenging. You realise how much you do rely on actually looking at someone's mouth when they're talking to you. And yeah, I mean, being apart from the rest of the production actually was so strange to begin with, because the netball team at Sky, we've always been such a tight-knit group, and that is one of the many reasons I've always loved working on it. So you have a little bit of FOMO when you can see them all in the studio and you're sat on your own courtside, but then you are the one courtside, so there's no complaints really. So yeah, different, challenging, took a little bit of getting used to, but everyone really got into the swing of it and was really careful and adhered to all the rules they needed to make sure that everyone involved stayed safe, and ultimately all but two games got played.
Yeah, the fact that you're part of a small team though, all got each other back and working on the netball together, it's something that's growing, and that comes across on the screen, that really helps.
Yeah, I think so. I have to say, when it got to the semi-finals and I turned up at the copper box and everyone else was there too because they were allowed to be courtside, I was giddy. I was like, as if, you know, semi-finals day wasn't exciting enough. It was like, get to see Di in the flesh and Pam and Caroline and Tamsin and all the production crew as well, because they were actually back on site, which hadn't been the case throughout the season. It's been all done remotely. And that is an element of it that is so special in, I think, working on the netball. I mean, every broadcast team you go into, when you, whatever, no matter what the sport, I always think TV is kind of one of the greatest team sports because you have to all work together. But there is a really wonderful vibe, camaraderie, and just friendship amongst everyone that covers netball. I think everyone's so passionate about what we're doing and about the sport, and everyone gets on really well, which is always a plus. So yeah, I was pretty giddy to finally be reunited with them on last Saturday.
And the fact that Sky have covered every game, you can begin to sense this real movement and momentum for the sport, and it allows, I think, for us as a sport to tell the story week on week, to follow that narrative of how teams are journeying through their domestic competition, and we're there live and hearing and seeing it in the moment, and no longer do we kind of have to play catch up. You know, I think people now fear missing out because it's just so much more visible, and there's a great noise and energy around all different platforms by which we're able to tap into the sport. And I love the fact that we're now telling stories beyond just what we see on court. We're getting in behind the players, in behind the staff, the volunteers, the organisation. And I think that's really important if we're going to grow and appeal to new audiences.
Obviously, things have been really tricky this season. Maybe a bit of news behind the scenes on how it actually worked for broadcasters. I mean, did you have to get tested during the week or temperatures before you went into the venue, that kind of thing?
So it was a combination of all things, really. I mean, the way the Super League worked is that the players and those who couldn't avoid being around the players were sort of red zone, if you were, and then broadcasters were amber zone. So there were very clear areas that we could not go to. Like, you'll have noticed us stood courtside. We literally were not allowed to put a foot on that court throughout the majority of the season. There was obviously temperature checks at all the venues, and everyone had to fill in health questionnaires to the health and fitness of yourself and the people you live with every day before you go in. And if you or anyone you live with had had any symptoms, obviously steps had to be taken to make sure that no one had COVID and that everyone was being safe and secure. And then back at Sky as well, I can't speak so much of that because I wasn't there, but Sky have been really solid on sort of proactive testing. We have on-site testing, so everyone gets tested twice a week if you're going in, and temperature checking everywhere as well. So yeah, it was lots of forms, lots of temperature checks. And then also, just from a personal perspective, just sort of every now and then, especially before you go up to the games on a sort of Monday, take a lateral flow test just to have that added peace of mind that you weren't going to be putting the Super League at risk. Almost made me a bit emotional, to be honest.
Well, it was. I mean, even if Lightning weren't perhaps your team, just the sheer fact that what it took to reach the final and for them to win, I think a lot of fans of the league were just really delighted for them.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that is the case so often in netball. I think people have their team. Sure, they've got their team that maybe they've got some affiliation to or that is geographically close to them, so they see the most and they naturally support. But I think ultimately, netball fans enjoy seeing good netball and seeing good netball stories. And, you know, you could be the most diehard blue and gold Team Bath fan, but you'll have still found, and even though you'll have been disappointed, there's still something about the way Loughborough Lightning went about their business this season and what they did that you will appreciate and you will enjoy, because good netball is good netball. And it's just a fantastic story as well for one of the teams that have been around for so long and never won it, to finally see them get over the line. And for that group of players as well, so many of them have been playing on that court in the copper box when they've, you know, not been able to get across the line in grand final. I think of Beth Cobden a couple of years ago doing her ACL in that final. So to go back and get the win on that court. And for Sam May as well, who, you know, she's played a fair few Super League teams. There's a lot of people that are big fans of Sam May. So seeing her end her career on that high, and there is that brilliant, brilliant black and white picture by Ben, who has done so many phenomenal photos throughout the course of this season of Sam sort of punching the air with both fists. That it's just sort of iconic, and it's a great story. And a good result for Loughborough Lightning fans, but ultimately just a good result for netball. Netball's the winner.
And I don't know how you saw my next question from there, but it's always about the stories. But I think with Sky as well, obviously the return of Off the Court as well, it's just a lot more away from the court, which has really helped.
Absolutely. And, you know, that comes from a result of being able to see and watch every game. We don't usually have that. And quite often, you know, it can get to sort of midway through the season and we're going to cover a team that we haven't seen play yet. So although we'll have seen what their results look like and we might have read a couple of match reports, which, you know yourself in netball, sometimes those can be a bit hit and miss. They're not always there. And thankfully that is changing. But we used to go and have no sort of real information on any of these teams, where we've watched every single team, every single round through this Super League season. So we've seen the stories on the court, and that means we're more aware of what's going on off the court as well, because we're talking to the coaches and players every single week. So I think, you know, that's what we've always been trying to do at Sky, always tell those stories, not just on the court, but off the court, because if we want to grow the sport as well, you need to know the athletes, you need to understand them. And they need to be very human and relatable, which I think with netball is a very easy thing to do, because they are just like us, but just very, very, very high performing athletes and very good at what they do.
The recent news that Sky have been fully behind netball for 15 years recently.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and everything we've done, you know, if you look back at what that coverage looked like 15 years ago to what it looks like now, it's huge growth, and it's fantastic for the sport as a whole. And yeah, we want to be able to keep doing that, keep telling those stories, and the more we can make the sport visible and everywhere, then the better it is for everyone involved.
Maybe something for the league and England Netball to look at next season, but combination of YouTube and TV this season, we almost need to build on that next season.
100%. I think if you look at the figures from the YouTube streaming, and actually I haven't actually checked what they look like for the second half of the season, but by the halfway point of the season, there'd been over 1 million people watching the YouTube streams. And that wasn't all live. That was often people going back and looking when they had time and rewatching games. Because I think that's the challenging thing with women's sport is, you know, it can be very hard for a woman who's juggling everything, like so many women are, to be like, oh, I'm not doing anything at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon because my netball team's playing. That's just not reality. So the fact that they were there and accessible to go back and watch at a time that suited, I think made a huge difference. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at, like long term, is to we can't feel like we're taking a step back next year, and it's going to be a real challenge. Because there are so many factors at play, but ultimately, the more we can show, the better. It's just how you make that doable and get the fan experience back. So there's a lot going on, and it's for people much higher up the food chain than I. But yeah, you just want to see this as a stepping stone, a launch pad, really, for netball to go supersonic, I hope.
There's been so much going on over that season. A particular highlight? There's one.
Oh my goodness.
I left it till the end.
That's literally an impossible question. Oh my, okay. The thing is as well, what I struggle with is that Wakefield feels like a lifetime ago. It almost feels like there were two seasons. I think that's sort of the first trip I made to Wakefield for round three, I think it was. And it just feels, yeah, like a millennium ago. Particular highlight. I honestly can't pick one, because there were so many great performances. There were so many great matches. There were some ridiculous shots being made, some ridiculous athleticism. You know, comes to mind, I think Kadeen Corbett at one point basically did a cartwheel over the barriers on the court trying to get the ball. I can't pick a single highlight other than the fact that we saw...
Netball is a winner. You've already said that.
Yeah, netball is a winner. We saw every game of the Super League season. And if that's not a highlight, I don't know what else can be.
All of last season's games remain online via Sky Sports YouTube, so if you want to relive any moment, including that grand final, just go and check out Sky Sports YouTube.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.